Good morning. We continue with our study of the world of friendship, 6 to 10, the lectures and ideas and hashkafa of Rav Shlomo Volbe on Judaism. In the next session, the ones that we've been talking about when we started on Friday, we began Rav Volbe's discussion about how to understand the order of mitzvos. What exactly was God's intention? And of course, true to his motto, Rav Volbe organized them around the Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. He understood that there are six different categories, if I may, of mitzvos that sort of highlight six different aspects of the way that a Jew functions in the world and relates to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he turns around and he says, you have to understand that by definition, the process of recognizing and understanding why you do what you do and how to order the mitzvos has to work around the system. And so God organized it for us so that we can understand it and put it in our bones. And so it was there orally. And he begins with the first Seder, the one we'll talk about today, which in Torah Sheva'al Peh is the section known as Seder Zroim, or Brachos and Zroim. Now it's interesting. Says Rav Volbe, Seder Zroim is a prototype for Emuna, for faith. Who is the ultimate personality? Who recognizes this? Lest you think it's the rabbi or the monk. It's not so. Who is the ultimate mamin? It is the farmer. The farmer does all of his work, and he partners with Hashem in the process. He understands what he's doing, and every step of his process, he sees his faith in Hashem. How many of us do that in our lives? When we realize that what we do when we go to work, whatever job we're doing, in terms of the computer programming, or in terms of the medicine or law that we practice, or the chachma that we put into our accounting, or into even our medical knowledge, it all begins and ends and rises and falls on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we start out Seder Zroim, ironically, with Masechta Brachos, which deals with Brachos and Tefillah, the idea of prayer and bracha, because the main goal when we daven is not to get what we want necessarily, but to realize that we have someone to turn to when we have issues. And that's sometimes a lot more important than just getting what we need. We know the Nachash, the famous snake, was punished with the understanding that afar tachal koyim echayecha, that you're going to eat dirt. Now, dirt doesn't always taste good, but if you don't care, then dirt's fine. But, says Rav Volbe, you need to, this is the Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, the understanding that the biggest punishment for the Nachash was he'd have no reason to interact with Hashem. There'd be no higher order purpose in his life. Everything would be there. It's not exactly an ideal for a way to live. Human beings don't do that. Human beings live with an understanding that we have somebody to turn to, and it builds us up within the process. And this is the beauty of tefillah. And Rabbi Yehuda Halevi in the Kuzari adds that bracha shows us that nothing comes ready-made, that we have to work on it, and that we have to ask for it, and that we have to proceed with it. And in turn, what happens is, it takes each one of our mundane activities that we do, and it gives it and infuses it with a purpose towards Kedusha. So Rav Volbe adds, when a person turns around and picks up a glass of water and drinks it, that's a nothing activity. But when you add some special ruchnius to it, you add some spirituality to the water. By saying a bracha, she'akol niyeh bedvaro, you taste that water and you realize, tamu ruuki tov Hashem. You can realize how wonderful Hashem is. And that's the gateway and beginning of the connection to all of Torah Sheva'al Peh. It starts out with an understanding that we are looking to connect to the Ribono Shel Olam. And it gives us further awareness all the way through Seder Zroim that we don't own our world. So we need to do all sorts of things when we get the benefits on the product that we produce. And so therefore, we separate Trumos and Maestros. There are things that we have to do, and places where we have to do them, there are times that we set aside to recognize that the land belongs to Hashem. There are certain mixes that we don't have. And each one of these pieces makes sense to us and has a purpose. Rav Volbe goes on and says, take a look at the concept of Orla, for instance. Orla is the process whereby the first 3 years after the birth of after a tree is planted, we don't use the fruit. And so Rav Volbe explains why. The first 3 years, there isn't enough fruit that's being produced. And so we realize that obviously the first that we have is the best. We want to give it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we wanted to give it to him when there's something of substance to bring. And so therefore, the first 3 years, we just leave it fallow. We let it build itself up. And then thereafter, in the fourth year, when we get to Netar Avai, then we bring it up to Yerushalayim to share it with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Or Kalayim and Shatnas, these two mitzvos, these things highlight to us the understanding that if God runs the world and He endowed each animal, limino, and each plant, liminehu, right, to stick on their own, when we crossbreed, what we're really doing is not allowing something to grow into its God-given ultimate potential. And that, of course, weakens the potential of that which is God-given. For instance, when a person takes a donkey and a horse and he mates them together and he gets a mule, the mule is impotent. The mule, the side of the donkey and the side of the horse, each one is canceled out by the other, and the same happens with each and every one of these crossbreeds. And even in the grafting and crossbreeding of plants, where there is sometimes that which is grown out of it, but there's a lack of understanding that it's not at the strength that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it to have. God gave us a potential to rule over the world, but He wants us to do so in a way where we don't destroy that which we're ruling over. Our job is to assist HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not to desist with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's massive plan. And so therefore, those are things to think about when we're crossing processes. And as far as Trumos and Maisros, which make up a huge number of Mesechtos towards the end of Seder Zeraim, including Challah and others, there's a message over there as well. And that is the understanding that we're supposed to have a pure, unadulterated relationship with Hashem. Not one that's corrupted because the intermediaries are corrupted. We know the Catholic Church, Lahavdil, says Revolbi, people used to buy indulgences. It cheapens the religion when we think all we're doing is paying to have somebody else to do it. That's not the way our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is supposed to proceed. We don't have priests running outside of the Beis HaMikdash. And in the Beis HaMikdash, we want it to be so that the Kohanim and the Levium are not sitting around trying to achieve corruptibility. Unfortunately, in the second Beis HaMikdash, this caused a problem. But instead, what we want them to do is be taken care of comfortably, so that they can take care of us comfortably. Take care of the Kohanim. Give the necessary Trumos and Maisros. But realize that the Kohanim are not supposed to be taking more. The Levi are not supposed to be taking more. The ultimate purpose in being with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to go ahead and recognize He runs the world, and we partner with Him. And from there, Emunah grows. As we go through our day, yes, obviously it's important to contribute to religious institutions. Obviously it's important to partner, but don't absent yourself from the process. Instead, join in, look for it, find it, and in the process find ourselves and our world, and making every day a world of friendship, and every day a great day. Have a wonderful, terrific day.